a rally in the oil market on hopes of a truce in the price war between Saudi Arabia and Russia. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. After falling to an 18-year low last week, Brent crude prices are popping more than 9% this morning to around $27 a barrel. That's pushing global stocks slightly higher. It all comes after President Trump spoke to the leaders of Saudi Arabia and Russia and said he expects a resolution in the next few days to their disagreement on how much oil to pump into the market. We often talk about prices of commodities like oil, but we don't often discuss how it gets to market and the crews that play an essential role in transporting it. In a regular month, 100,000 seafaring crew members usually change over all around the world. But coronavirus travel restrictions have meant those people who spend months aboard their ships can't disembark in some ports. The bosses of international shipping bodies met last night to discuss what that means for the welfare of the industry's workers. Captain Rajesh Uni, boss of Synergy Marine Group, which supplies crews for commercial ships, says the right balance between human welfare and global supply chain security must be hammered out soon.
We should, as an industry, look at collectively, carefully managing crew changes at designated ports. We can't expect these seafarers to stay indefinitely. I want people to remember when they go to the supermarkets and see stuffs on their shelves, or when they turn on the gas in the kitchen, or when they go to the fuel station to fuel their car, there are these unsung heroes who are moving those goods from point A to point B to be able to move this world trade.
The point of view from a lot of people who might be listening to this, who have been asked to stay home to try and stop the spread of this virus, well, why don't you just keep the crews on board? Because essentially, they're already quarantined. What do you think is the bigger risk in keeping crews on board longer than they need to be?
For anybody to do something meaningful, they need alignment in their passion and purpose. While some part of every individual's purpose is also to take care of the family, when they are completely removed from these people, it's not so easy to say that, okay, why don't you stay another 3 months? And you're expecting them to perform a very high-risk environment. You're dealing with gas tankers, different types of ships, gale force winds. Everything is very different. So it's not fair to compare quarantining people for 3 weeks at home in an office environment to another 2 months on the ships.
So what tools do the ships have then to keep the crew safe if someone does become infected on board?
So on ships, you have a hospital. But the bigger challenge is if something needs immediate attention and if the ships come into a port and they're not given access. I understand that when you go to a country, they have their own risks to address because they don't want local community spread. So we need to identify key ports and prepare a proper, robust risk assessment plan and then make sure that there is an opportunity for these people to come in and go out of the country or at least be treated if there is and case where they have, you know.
The group that represents ship owners, the International Chamber of Shipping, has urged for key worker movement restrictions to be relaxed. The IMO, which looks after safety and security of the industry, has also agreed. So who ultimately will make the final decision on what the rules should be?
It's not more about the shipping industry. It's also about the states in which the ships call, right? Say a ship is calling into Rotterdam. The facilities in Rotterdam and the government, the immigration, should allow such people to be able to then get off the ship and go to the airport and fly to the country where they come from. Then the next challenge is, how do you fly them? Because most of the airlines are not operating. We need to have governments to say, okay, we have created a designated corridor whereby we know how do we take a guy off the ship and take him to the airport and fly him off in the most secure manner.
So it's a whole lot of moving parts then to decide how this will ultimately work. Captain Rajesh Uni, Chief Executive of Synergy Marine Group in Singapore, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Ready for your daily dose of good news? How about free sneakers for healthcare workers? That's what Allbirds, a global footwear brand based in San Francisco, is doing to alleviate some of the strain on an increasingly overwhelmed industry. The company's boss, Tim Brown, explains demand was so high, the company pivoted to a buy one, donate one model.
We have a small team on the ground in China, and the genesis of this idea is actually one of our customers there started buying them for workers on the front line in Wuhan. And it started with a donation of $500,000 of shoes here in the States, and we came up with the idea of extending it by asking our community to purchase the shoes basically at cost to extend the donation to the community. And there was just overwhelming support from it. So it's been nice to see.
And how long have you been doing this? It's just been a few weeks, right?
Yeah, look, all the days are kind of blurring into one. I'm sure that's the same for everyone at the moment. But, you know, as we look at what the medical community and more broadly first responders are doing, it's pretty humbling to see. So if this made a small difference, that's a good thing.
How many pairs of shoes have you sold through the buy one, donate one?
The total value of shoes that will be sent out to the medical community in America and in the UK for the NHS and in Germany is now north of $1 million.
Given the surge in demand for these shoes at this time, is manufacturing an issue for you, given that the world's factories are essentially shut down during this crisis?
You know, it's interesting. With our presence in China, we actually sort of saw this a lot earlier, and that's not an issue for us, thankfully. But again, things are changing on a daily basis, and can shipments get through? What happens? Who's safe? What will be shut down? Are all questions we're facing on a daily basis.
Putting one foot in front of the other through this crisis, helping others while you're at it. Tim Brown, Allbirds founder. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
One more bit of news for you. Spain has recorded its biggest ever jump in unemployment. More than 800,000 people lost their jobs last month amid the coronavirus crisis. The U.S. will also report today how many new unemployment benefit claims were filed last week. The week before, the number surged to more than 3 million. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.